Lots of love and welcome to the Spiritual Sense podcast. I'm Michael McIntosh and this is Sister Shireen. And we have been doing meditation between us for 55 years. Shireen is a wonderful soul who's been teaching meditation and running a meditation center for a long time. And has a lot of experience teaching courses and trainings and helping people. And I also have thousands of hours of meditation practice and courses. And today we're going to be jumping into 56 seconds to inner peace. 56 seconds, because why should it take too long? What we're doing is we're condensing over 50 years of practice down into 56 seconds for you. So hopefully you appreciate us saving you a bit of time. And of course we're going to have to explain this to you. It's going to take more than 56 seconds to explain how it works, but once you understand this method, you will then be able to practice this and come into that wonderful feeling of peace very quickly. So welcome, Shireen.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Ah, we're blessed.
The AC is on.
The AC is on. So if anyone can hear a little bit of background, we've decided to keep it running because it is rather warm here otherwise. So inner peace.
Three cheers for inner peace.
Three cheers for inner peace. Hip hip hooray. This is a wonderful thing. We all want to feel peace in our heart, because when we feel peace, we feel like we've come home. We feel like we've come back to something very dear to our heart. And in the modern world, hardly anyone feels that much peace at all. In fact, I think peace is an underrated experience, because people are normally running around after love or happiness, but peace is like a foundational experience. So how do we...
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What comes first, love or peace?
You can't have love without peace, and you can't have peace without love.
No, but what comes first? If I have to experience as a human being, right? What should I experience first to experience the other? Between love and peace, what should I experience first to experience the other?
I think peace is like a foundational underpinning, because if there isn't peace, it's hard to have anything on top of it. There needs to be like a foundation. And that's why...
And the same with happiness?
Same with happiness. Because, you know, why is it that the expression that we use is Om Shanti? It could have been Om Kushi or Om something else, couldn't it? Doesn't it? And so Om Shanti means I am peace. Because when you strip away everything else, all that's left is peace. But at the same time, you know, if there's no love, can there be peace? So they all come together, don't they? You can't really separate.
I agree with you, though, about peace. Because if you don't experience peace, you can't experience love. And if you don't experience peace, you cannot experience happiness. And I think most people understand this very intuitively. Mm-hmm. Because when anyone comes to the center, we ask them to fill in a form. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want from this meditation course, yeah, right? 90% of the time people say something related to peace.
Interesting.
Like calm, relaxation, mm-hmm, peace, you know, peace is a lot, said a lot, yeah, but related words around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so people intuitively know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because to experience love, you need peace.
You do. And even on a physical level, if there's not peace time, as in there's not war, then you can't do anything else.
Right. During
the first thing a country needs before anything else can be done is peace.
Right.
Because if it's war, no one can really relax and move on. You can't like build businesses and have a sustainable economy if people are just fundamentally in war. So on another level, peace is the foundation.
Right.
And then we're not talking about... Because peace, people often think peace means no war, but that's obviously not, the standard's a bit low in that case.
It's more about inner peace.
Inner
it's
peace.
More about individual peace.
How do you feel personally in yourself?
Yes.
So peace is such an important thing, and also like with happiness, if someone, let's say we do something fun and we might feel happy for a short amount of time, if there isn't peace underneath, you can't really enjoy it, the happiness, because it's like fizzy, it fizzes up and then it kind of disappears. So that wonderful peace.
Peace is everything.
Yeah.
You know, like even before we get into the drill, the spiritual drill to experience peace, right? We need to talk about a few things we need to do in our day.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, I've noticed, is that people sit down for meditation mm-hmm. and they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that. And the reason they're doing that, they're sitting down for meditation and falling asleep, is because they haven't trained the mind to relax without sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to first train your mind to relax.
Right.
Without sleeping.
Interesting.
And so that training your mind to relax without sleeping is where you are just sitting down, even for a half an hour, and it need not be like a scheduled
mm-hmm.
thing, right? Oh, my morning meditation, my evening meditation. No. Anytime during the day, you just take some time off, right? Like we take time off, and many of us scroll through social media,
right?
Instead of scrolling through social media, that you take time off and do some kind of wakeful rest activity.
Right.
Wakeful rest could be just breathing. And for me, I just don't just breathe, but I remember I'm a soul, I'm breathing through this body. Just be relaxed, right? Like you just relax your body, you know, tense your muscles, relax your muscles, you know, tense them again, relax them again. And you're basically training your mind to relax without sleeping.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be just awake and stressed out and knocked out.
Two extremes, right? Yeah. And if you go to two extremes, right, the only time you are resting is when you're sleeping, then your meditation is not very powerful.
No. I mean, what I like to do, and it's nice being near water, right, is looking at the water. It's not really meditation specifically, but it's contemplation.
Yes, and it's relaxing.
It's relaxing.
It's very actually productive to do that, even though you might think I'm not doing anything, I'm just sitting down.
Well, it's processing in the background, isn't it?
Yes, it's very productive.
It's much more productive than going like this and then being brainwashed, and then you see all this stuff you don't like and get triggered about it, and it's not...
No, apart from that extreme, right?
Yeah.
The productive, you might think, oh, but I'm not meditating, I'm not doing anything, but to be able to meditate properly, I feel this is a prerequisite step.
It is. This is something people don't talk about enough. It's not like... Because if everything with meditation is that it can seem potentially like we're working and then we're meditating, which is another kind of work in a way, and then there's doing other stuff, and it can seem like a regimented
right.
And where's the, so in between that there's like these off periods of I call them like the magic and the wonder.
All right.
Where you just, I mean, like what I like to do when I'm in Sedona is just look at the mountains or go out or just listen to the birds. And it's very calming, you know, put your feet on the ground. And it just, everything settles down. And I also feel that the subconscious mind and all the stuff we're thinking about processing kind of starts to heal and give us ideas and process things. There's a need for that type of wakeful rest. And then everything can be done much more gracefully.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so if people have a problem with sleeping during meditation, that's the number one reason.
What about if they haven't had enough sleep? I mean, I'm not...
Becomes better, right? Your sleep becomes better.
If I fall asleep in meditation, it's normally because I haven't had enough sleep the night before.
No, but even your sleep becomes better.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be able to sleep better if you have wakeful rest during the day.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so just try this.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that with you before we even go into what is inner peace.
Right.
Is try to relax. Mm. Right? Try to relax without doing stuff.
Yeah, and one of the easiest ways to do that is just to breathe out slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to go to a lake or sort of ocean or the mountains. Just to breathe in slowly and then breathe out very long, slow breaths. Because the more carbon dioxide we have in our body and we get used to it, it actually allows us to relax. We've been told carbon dioxide is like the most worst thing in the world, you know, because of all the climate change. But we need it for our health, don't we?
So that's the first step. Mm-hmm. For inner peace, right? The prerequisite. Now let's talk about actual steps to inner peace.
All right.
The first one is realizing that I am a soul and my original nature is peace. So you could say the first step is realizing I'm a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that I'm a spiritual being. And realizing that I am immortal, I'm weightless, I'm just light, right? I'm not the body. Because what happens is a lot of peacelessness, no peace, right? A lot of anxiety, stress comes with having a body and all of the complications that come with having a body, relationships, work, this, that, right? So you have to separate yourself from all of that and realize, because that's reality. Mm. Reality is that you're a soul.
Right.
And we are constantly caught up in an illusion.
Mm.
So when we come into reality that I'm a soul, then peace starts happening. So peace, you could say, is actually an innate nature for us. So that would be the second step. But that innate nature comes into play when I'm sitting in my reality, when I'm aware of my reality. When I'm caught up in illusion, then it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only thing anyone did, it's, peace is pretty much guaranteed, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because it, all of the, like, what's the opposite of peace? It's peacelessness or insecurity or stress, or there's a whole bunch of opposites. It's not just one thing. And all of that comes from the body, consciousness, not the body itself, but the, if I think I'm this person, then I think, am I good enough according to certain standards, and what about this, and I want this, and I want, and there's just all this long, 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 long list of things. But then when we realize I'm a spiritual being, then all, it's like dropping all the weight. And then
waking up.
We feel, there it is. That's just beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really waking up.
It's
waking up from an illusion.
From an illusion or from a nightmare.
Right.
You know, from a trance.
Right. So that's the first step, waking up to the fact that you're a soul.
Yeah.
And
the other thing, let's just be honest about this, it's very important that we don't say, yeah, I heard that ages ago. Because that's what people normally do. They say, yeah, what else have you got? I already know that, right? This is like the biggest, I think this is the biggest problem. Out of all the spiritual things.
We all know everything.
We all know, that's like, yeah, I read that in a book and this other person said that. Yeah, yeah, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Whatever, what else have you got, right? That's what people think. But this is, if we're not experiencing profound wonder around this thing, then we haven't got it. Do you know, that's the stand, because when you wake up, you're like, oh my God, like I've just come down here to this fascinating world, right? And I'm a liberated being. It's not this, oh dear, it's
not the experience,
yeah,
right? It's not the knowledge. It's not just knowing.
No.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There has to be an experience.
Right.
It has to be an experience.
Because when you practice that first thing,
it takes a long time to get to wake up, right?
It does.
Because what happens is we keep getting back into things.
Right.
we keep getting back into the illusion. We are so used to the illusion, and we think, even in the illusion, thinking that I know something and not practicing it also is just being in the illusion.
It is, it is. This is the most dangerous thing, is thinking, yeah, I already heard it all before, and I want more advanced stuff.
Right.
But I didn't practice it.
But once we know we are spiritual beings, right, another deep acceptance, there has to be a very deep acceptance within us that peace is my innate nature. I don't need to go for a walk. It's very nice to go for a walk in nature. I don't need to go to the sunset. It's very nice to watch a sunset. I don't need to go to the beach. I don't need to go somewhere else to find peace, that it is within me, mm-hmm. within that tiny soul, within I, the soul, I am originally, my original nature is peace. That originally, right, the first few moments or days or the first time of me, right, the beginning time of me, is I was completely at peace, no conflict, no desires, completely tranquil and serene. That was me. Without all of the junk and without the illusion, that is me. And that deep acceptance needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just about knowing, it's about accepting.
Yes, it's a feeling state.
Right, and then, okay, so these things, right, I'm giving you steps because ultimately you have to implement the steps to be able to experience it. Not knowing the steps will not give you peace.
No.
So the first step is I'm a soul. You have to implement that. I am peace originally. You have to implement that. And the third one is my home, where I come from, is the land of peace. This is not my home. This is, you could say, the set, the movie set, right? This, just like we created a makeshift set here.
Yeah.
In the same way, the whole world is a grand epic movie, and it's a movie set. And so it's not our home. Our home is above this world. Michael, you want to share? Michael is very good about talking about home, the land of peace.
The land of peace, yeah. But we, everyone who's been on a plane has probably had the experience, if you have a window seat, you had the window open, you probably noticed taking off in a plane, right? And it goes faster and faster, and then you feel being pulled up, and very quickly everything gets smaller, doesn't it? And then you're way up in the clouds. And that's an experience that most people have had nowadays, because people fly all the time. And so it's a bit like that, actually, except we're not leaving. The body stays here. We're not going up on a plane. I like to meditate on the plane, because then I'm like higher up to start with. It's not that much higher, but it's like, so you can feel that you're a spiritual being. The soul can fly with the consciousness, and then we can float up beyond. I like to imagine that I'm here now, physically in this body, and then I can look down on the body from like up on the top of the room, and then go above the room, and then go looking down on the town, and then looking down on the land, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Many people have seen, we can probably put a clip in here, of just that's like a classic image of going beyond space. Many, many movies and stuff have shown some version of this. And so you feel you're being pulled up, and as you get pulled up, you feel lighter and lighter and lighter, because all of the things in life get smaller and smaller and less concerning. We just don't care. And also imagine time going further away as well. So it, like, this is like ancient history. So you're up here, far away, everything's small, and it's in the past. And then we go beyond all of that into the golden light, into the golden light. And that's our home, where we just floating. I'd like to have the feeling of floating in an infinite sky. Well, we were seeing the sunset yesterday, right? And you often get these red, golden red,
yes,
sunsets. They don't happen that often, actually, when they're like really bright red and gold. That's actually fairly unusual. You have to have everything lined up just perfectly for it to be those
colors. It's usually in Florida, it happens in the winter.
Yeah.
It has to, like in summer, it's too bright. Yeah. You don't see it that much. Even like the sunrise,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. The is golden colors are different in the winter.
So most places have certain times of the year, certain times of the day, occasionally, where you get, the whole sky is this beautiful golden red. And when it's like that, most people just, they just kind of are in awe of it, right? It just somehow has an effect on people. They just go, whoa. And many people, like they might be driving around and they see it and they go, I just have to pull over and just look at this, right? I mean, this happens where I live all the time. Then people just stop and go, whoa, what is this? And the reason for that is not just because it's cool colors, because there's lots of nice sunsets. Why is golden red somehow just gets us? Because our home is like that. It's very similar, and it reminds us of being in that beautiful light and that silence. And when people see these beautiful golden sunsets, they normally want to be quiet, and they normally want to just stop. That's the effect that it has on the soul. You know, and if there's a bunch of people talking, they don't like it. They just want to just be with it. And then once it goes down, everyone goes, okay, let's go and eat, right? And then there are other things. But that just puts us in that state because it reminds us of that being in our home.
So our home is the land of peace.
Right.
Right, so that is the third step is the land of peace. And it's actually where we used to live, right? That's what Michael is saying, because everyone is connected to that because they used to live there.
Yeah.
We just don't remember we used to live there.
Yeah.
Before we came here, we came from there. We are eternal beings.
Mm-hmm.
So eternally, we are either here or there. So if you're not here, we are there. And so we come from there, from our land of peace, and to go back and to experience that, right, with our awareness, with our third eye, with our visualization, we can experience the land of peace.
Absolutely. It's very
like cool. Just now, the way Michael described it, I could feel it, I could experience it, right? So that's the third step, is the land of peace. And the fourth step is, in the land of peace, is the Supreme Soul. You could say God, you could say Divine Source, the One, our Beloved One. And he or she, the Supreme Soul doesn't have a gender. So the Supreme Soul is the ocean of peace. And we are connected, right? We are connected to this ocean of peace. We are eternally connected to this ocean of peace. We just are forgetting it, that's all.
Right.
And so that's the fourth step. So if we keep practicing these four steps again and again and again, we will experience peace. And the way to do this is while you're connecting to these four steps, right? First, remembering I'm a soul. Second, remembering I am peace. Third, remembering my home. Fourth, connecting to the ocean of peace. And when I'm doing these four steps, my mind shouldn't wander anywhere else. It should be focused. So if my mind is wandering, then it takes away from that experience of peace. So without the mind wandering, you focus on those four steps, money back guarantee, you will experience inner peace.
Absolutely.
You will experience inner peace. It's a guaranteed experience.
Definitely.
Right? You know, and that I feel is spiritual science. Right? Let's take electricity, right? there is a method to create electricity, and you can create electricity here in this room if you need to. You can create electricity in the Himalayas, in India, in Peru. It doesn't matter. You can create electricity, take the same technology and create electricity anywhere. It's the same with peace. It's the same for all human beings. If you follow these four steps, we will experience peace. And it doesn't matter where you are, in whatever situation you're in. You could be going through the worst periods in your life, right? And the body could be totally not cooperating with anything, like it's really sick. It doesn't matter. You will experience peace if you do these four steps. It's a guaranteed experience. And you will do, and you have to learn to do it without having too many other thoughts, no other thoughts.
So what do you do if you have other thoughts?
I usually have consequences for myself. And thank you for that question, Michael. So what I do is, let's say I think after my second, right, I'm peace. I'm thinking of something I have to do. I say, no, let me go back to the first step. So let's say after the third step, I have other thoughts. I say, no, let me go back to the first step and repeat the four steps again. Repeat, start from the beginning again, right? And because everyone's mind works this way, everyone's psychology works this way, is what happens is, if you start giving yourself consequences for wandering off, you don't wander off.
That's right. If there's no consequence, then...
Right. Then you stop wandering, right? The few times you say, no, go back to the first step, no, go back to the first step, you'll stop wandering. You know how they train horses, right, to not eat? When I was in the Himalayas recently, we went on... I was on a horse going somewhere up into the mountains. And the horse I was in wanted to nibble on any little piece of grass it saw. It wouldn't just walk, right? It would go nibble. So you know how they train the horses not to nibble on grass? Every time the horse nibbles on grass, let's say, they make it stop and they make it go around in a circle. Again, they make, let it take it a few steps, it nibbles again, stop, go around in a circle. Take a few steps, nibbles again, go, stop, make it go around in a circle. And then it realizes that it shouldn't nibble because it's good. They're going to make it stop and go around in a circle. And that's how you train a horse not to nibble on grass.
That's very interesting. Better than whipping it.
Right, you don't want to whip it. Right, so that's the same thing we have to do with our mind.
Yeah.
You have to train it not to go off. If you don't train it, no one's going to come and train it. You have to parent your mind.
It's the same as anything else, isn't it? It's the same as training our body to have better muscles or get good at any practice. If there's no refinement of the practice, it
right.
doesn't improve. A lot of people don't think they can control their thoughts.
You can. And you know, I feel it's very important to understand that you can. Especially, I want you to try these and tell us, leave us in the comments, right? Even for one day, sit down, and every time you sit down, that you will do it 2-3 times, the steps.
So go over the steps again. Quickly.
So the steps are, one is I'm a soul, I'm a being of light. Two is my original nature is peace. Three is I come from the land of peace, that's my home. And four is I'm connected to the ocean of peace in the land of peace.
Yeah, this is why you can do it in 56 seconds.
Right. So you sit down and you practice, just tell yourself for 3-4 minutes, I'll take 5 minutes and do this drill. We call it a spiritual drill, these four steps. Any spiritual steps are called drill. And so I will do this 3 times in 5 minutes, right? Or 2 times in 5 minutes, however many times. And you just sit down and do it. Without doing it, nothing happens. You have to sit down and really do it. And so, and if your mind wanders, try this, right? Keep going back to the first step and keep going back to the first step till it, and it will stop wandering. You practice this enough times and write to us and tell us, what do you think? Is it possible or not? I think it's possible.
Try it out.
Yeah. Try it out, and I think it's possible. The other thing that is always very interesting about this particular spiritual drill is that it is reality. Right? When I started, I said, when you sit in reality, you experience peace. That is reality. It's not randomly we are making up that we have come from home. No, that's actually our home. We are asleep here and we are thinking this is everything. No, this is not everything. That's our home.
It's such a relief.
Right? That's where we have come from and that's where we have to go back. And so when we remember these things, then we are waking up. And waking up means peace. Really, bliss, peace. There's a blissful peace to waking up. And so it's like waking up from a nightmare. Don't you feel relieved?
What a huge
right? So that's how it is. So this is the proven, you could say, technology for peace. It works. So let's say this chair, right? I'm sitting on a chair. I want to break this chair. And I try to use my hands to break it. What's going to happen? It's going to be very difficult because my hands don't have the strength to break this chair. But I decide I'll use a hammer or any other tool. I have certain tools. I'm going to use those tools to break the chair. What's going to happen? It will break.
People will be worried about you.
What, breaking the chair? No, but if I have the intentions of breaking the chair, I need to do something, right?
Yeah.
So if I use the right tools, it'll happen. It's the same with peace. People don't know how to sit in peace, right? If you know, if you have the right tools, it's easy. Just like it's easy to break a chair, right? It's just the right tools. And those four steps, divine angels, they are secrets. They're not that secret, but it's the secret is to implement it, and the secret is to know that they are there.
Yeah.
And the secret is to do it without external thoughts.
Yeah, this is very refined technology.
Right.
Very refined.
And it works.
It does work. It does work. And it's just doing it again and again. That's why it's called a drill. Like, if you're doing physical exercise, you don't just do one round of some practice and say that's it for the rest of the year. You have to do a certain number of them to get the benefit, and you might not do everything perfectly and you might whatever, but the fact that you did it builds strength. And so this can be done, even though it's taken us probably half an hour to explain this to you. Once you get in the practice, you can do it in a minute or less than a minute, you know.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And also,
and
one thing,
and then you do it again. That's why it's a drill. You don't just do it once and then say you go round and round.
One thing Brother Michael said, which is very important, I want to double click on what you said, is, am I doing it correctly? Am I doing it? Is this the right way to do it? Right? You were just saying,
yeah,
just do it.
Yeah, don't overanalyze.
Yeah.
Because if we get stuck in our head about, is this perfect, 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 you're never going to do anything. You have to, like, have a go at it and then do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. And then normally the experience comes after a little while.
Yeah, so don't give up on it.
So people say, oh, I'm not sure if I did it right and it didn't work. Okay, what else you got? Right? That's just the mind's endless pursuit of random stuff. Oh, what about the phone has got all these random videos of people jumping off cliffs and stuff, right? And we're like, yeah, that's fine, but but practice it again and again and again and again and again. And after a certain number of repetitions, then you notice, I actually feel deep, deep peace. I mean, I was teaching some version of this to one of my students recently, and she was saying that she's actually addicted to this now. That's what she said. She sent me a message, says, I'm addicted to this because you feel so good about it. She's like, it's such a thrilling and fascinating experience that she just wants to keep doing it. So the people who get the results are the people who just go for it. And then they go, oh, this is the best thing ever. This is what I've been looking for. This is what my whole life has been designed to try and get this in a million other ways, and it didn't work. And you just do it again and again and again and again. And it's wonderful. I personally try and do this when I'm traveling. So I'm going to get on a plane today. And when we travel, we can do these practices easily because we're just saying that, you know, you might as well. And what I notice is the amount of time that it takes to get to the destination seems to shrink the more I practice. I went to Hawaii recently, and I honestly felt like when I arrived, I arrived at my destination, and I genuinely felt like I'd just driven down the road. That's how fresh I felt. I was like, how is it that I feel completely charged and loads of energy? And like I've been on a 7-hour plane ride and a 2-hour shuttle, and I've gone through the airport and everything, and I'm like, here I am. Because I did these practices again and again and again and again and again for hours, and it just condensed everything down to this wonderful feeling. So now you have it. So we've given you the secret. It's like giving you a debit card with millions of dollars on it. Now you have to use the card. You have to withdraw the cash, the experience. You know, it's no good just sitting there. You have to say, here it is, put it in, press in the numbers, and go to the bank and get the money out. And so when you practice this, that's when you have the experience.
Yay!
Hooray!
You want to read us a blessing?
Let's have a blessing.
Should we read the blessing on peace?
Why not? What is it? Let's see. Here it is. Purity. They're in order, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Peace. You find solace in the calm flow of loving thoughts that course through your being. In peace, you've learned to listen to the voice of your wisdom. Your heart is tranquil, and you are in harmony with yourself and all around you. Infinite peace.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Let us know what you think about this practice in the comments. And if you have anything else you need, just let us know. And we'll connect with you on another episode. Lots of love. Many, many blessings.